Today is Saturday, February 6th, and today we're talking about what to expect at the Senate impeachment trial against President Trump that starts next week. We'll discuss the arguments we'll likely hear from both sides, how the Constitution and our nation's history come into play, and what the senators who are acting as the jury will likely be keeping in mind as they cast their votes. Our guest today is Jamil Jaffer. He has served as chief counsel and senior advisor to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and as associate White House counsel to former President George W. Bush. He's currently executive director of the National Security Institute and an assistant professor of law at George Mason University. So here's our conversation about the upcoming impeachment trial. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Hi, Jamil. Thanks for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So first, let's lay out the situation. Earlier this week, we got a preview of the arguments from both House Democrats, who are arguing for conviction, obviously, and Trump's lawyers who are defending him. So what are the main points from both sides that stood out most to you and that will likely play the biggest role in this trial next week?
Sure. So there's a lot of issues around the events of January 6th, the so-called Insurrection Day. What the House has claimed in their articles of impeachment that they passed is that the president engaged in behavior that constitutes high crimes and misdemeanors under the U.S. Constitution. Look, you know, what's interesting about these type of proceedings, these impeachment proceedings, is that they're not crimes in the sense of a crime or in a criminal trial in a federal court, right? That you have to prove something beyond a reasonable doubt. You know, people often say, well, there's not enough evidence here. The crime isn't really a crime. It doesn't meet the standard. The Supreme Court has laid out for incitement of insurrection, for example. The word incitement is a special term used oftentimes in federal law and in the Supreme Court when you're engaged in First Amendment speech. You know, it's sort of the you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's true if you were being accused of a federal crime of incitement. But when you're talking about the political crime, the high crimes and misdemeanors in the Constitution, those standards don't apply. And it's really whatever the House thinks constitutes an impeachable crime and whatever the Senate is willing to convict somebody of.
And of course, Trump's defense team has a couple of different arguments. Let's start with whether or not this is constitutional to be holding an impeachment trial for a former president who's no longer in office. Obviously, Trump's legal team says, no, he's a private citizen now. Democrats are saying, yes, we have to hold him accountable for his actions while he was president. So is this a gray area? What does the Constitution actually say?
Yeah, so the Constitution is actually silent on this question, right? What the Constitution's words refer to when it's talking about impeachment talks about removal. So you would assume, I think, based on the words that the president's lawyers have a pretty good argument. Since he's not in office, he can't be removed. If that's the entire result of an impeachment, well, you can't impeach somebody, you can't be removed, right? That's at least the argument that a number of Republican senators and the president's lawyers have made. Now, there is some precedent here, however. There's prior practice, right? Back in 1876, so you know, a long time ago, over 100 years ago, the House sought to impeach and did impeach a Secretary of War, right? William Belknap. He had already left office. He had been in the administration of President Grant. He had left office, and they sought to impeach him and then convict him at the Senate. The Senate actually voted on the question of whether, in fact, it could try him, even though he had left office voluntarily. The answer the Senate came to by a vote of the Senate was that it did have jurisdiction to try Secretary Belknap. So, putting aside the text of the Constitution, which is ambiguous, or some might argue is ambiguous. The president's lawyers say it's not ambiguous. He can't be removed, therefore you can't convict him of an impeachable crime. And you look at the history, and the history says, at least in this one case, back in 1876, the Senate did determine that it had the jurisdiction. Now then the question is, well, can the Senate really decide what the Constitution permits it to do, right? Isn't that something the Supreme Court should decide on? I think the problem with that argument is that, you know, the Supreme Court's not going to take this case. And so, you know, the Senate will have to make its decision on whether it can try and convict the president who's left office. Now, there has been a vote on this. The Senate, in an effort brought by one of the Republican senators last week, voted to determine they didn't have the authority to try somebody who had left office. Now, they're moving forward nonetheless, right? But there's at least a test vote on this question. And so if you believe the votes that came out there, so there were all the Democrats voted against it, And there were five Republicans. But at the end of the day, remember, to convict somebody of an impeachable crime, you have to have two thirds. And so it doesn't look like, while there's a majority of the Senate that thinks it has the ability to try former President Trump, it doesn't look like there's enough votes to convict if the votes play out the same way.
Okay, yeah, let's back up on that last issue that you were making, because just a simple majority is saying, let's move forward with the trial. The trial is happening. But it also gave us hints about how lawmakers might vote later on. So what is your prediction for how this will turn out? Do you think some minds might be changed in the process of the trial?
Well, look, if the senators are being, you know, are doing their job they're supposed to do, which is to serve as a jury in an impeachment trial, then they should keep an open mind, right? And they should vote based on the evidence presented by the House impeachment managers during this trial that's going to take place over the next few weeks. That being said, the vote that took place last week, it probably is a good indication of how they're going to vote, at least on that issue, and likely their vote on the overall impeachment proceedings, regardless of the evidence about whether, in fact, you know, he did incite the riot. And so it looks like there probably are enough votes to get past a simple majority. But remember, the Constitution requires a two-thirds majority to convict somebody of an impeachable crime in the Senate trial.
What is actually at stake here? If Trump were to be convicted, what does that actually mean for him, since he cannot be removed from office currently?
President Trump has the ignominious distinction of having been the first president to be impeached twice while in office. At the end of the day, he can't be removed from office. The most that could happen here is that after having decided to convict him, if the Senate were to convict him, the Senate could take a simple majority vote to bar him from holding office. Now, there's precedent for this, but only in the judge context, right? We've never actually removed a president from office on an impeachable crime or convicted a president of an impeachable crime. And so we don't know whether that precedent applies. But if that precedent does apply, then they would take a simple majority vote. And presumably, if there are enough votes to convict, there would be enough votes to bar him from holding office. And that would prevent him from running again. And of course, nothing prevents a president from playing, even if he were to be barred, which, again, it doesn't appear that that's going to happen, at least not through the impeachment proceeding. Nothing prevents him from being a very active force within American politics going forward. And he's sitting on a significant amount of campaign and other resources to use in that direction. And so clearly he's playing an influential role already, at least on the Republican side of the aisle in the House.
Still ahead, we talk about two of the things senators are likely keeping in mind as they decide whether or not to convict the former president. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by 1010. You may have read about this in the New York Times, In Style magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively on BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people, and with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring to wear forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings just launched, and you can find it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Also, this episode is brought to you by Noom. Noom says if you want to lose weight, it's not about one thing you ate today, but how you eat in general. Noom teaches you about eating, your cravings, and how to build new habits so you can ditch your misconceptions and get smart about food and the choices you make. Yes, Noom focuses on healthier habits, feeling good about your choices, and having an improved sense of self-worth and mood. And Noom says it wants to work with your lifestyle so you don't have to commit to a rigorous plan or feel bad about going off track for just a day. Based in psychology, Noom teaches you why you make the choices you do and gives you the tools you need to replace your habits with healthier ones. And since everyone is busy, that's why Noom does not demand much of your time. They only ask for 10 minutes a day. So sign up for your trial today at Noom, N-O-O-M, Noom.com/newsworthy. There's a science to getting healthier. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/newsworthy. That's Noom.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to my conversation with Jamil Jaffer. So some senators are probably already thinking about the next election cycle for them in 2022. So how might this trial vote impact their political careers later on?
Look, there's no doubt members, particularly on the Republican side of the aisle, are very cognizant of what opposing President Trump while he was in office or voting for impeachment whether in the House for impeachment or voted for conviction in the Senate, might do to their political futures, given that, you know, 92% of Republicans who voted in the last election voted for Donald Trump, and, you know, 70 plus million Americans across the country voted for him. I think that they very much are thinking about their political futures. So I think that certainly probably weighs heavily on people's minds. At the same time, I think the events of January 6th and the president's role, whatever you might think of it as, whether inciting or encouraging or whatever, his role in that certainly also weighs heavily on people's minds because, you know, on that day, all these members of Congress were hustled out of the chamber. You know, they were put in secure rooms. They had people with armed guards around them, people shooting out in the House chamber. I mean, these are unprecedented events that took place, you know, shocking events. And so I think everyone is keeping both those things in mind, particularly on the Republican side of the aisle. But, you know, the real question is, what influence is Donald Trump going to have going forward? You know, I think we'll all see how that plays out over the next few weeks and months. Not to mention, by the way, the influence of some of these conspiracy theories, QAnon and the like, that have played with respect to that riot and with respect to some of those supporters of President Trump.
Anything else you want to add or just a final takeaway?
Look, I think this is a very important sort of moment that we're in the country. As I noted earlier, what happened on January 6th was shocking and deeply troubling. It should be shocking and deeply troubling to any American. Nothing that happened that day was as it should have been. You know, the last time members of Congress been threatened like that was on September 11th. The last time the Capitol was physically attacked like that was in the War of 1812 when the British burned the White House and the Capitol. So, you know, we've got to figure out a way to move forward as a country, how to join hands and reunite and really focus on the fact that, you know, we've got a lot of foreign threats around the country, a lot of domestic problems to deal with, whether it's the issues of race or the issues of economics or the issues of COVID. Being at each other's throats and Americans attacking the Capitol is not something we ever want to do again, and something we have to take very seriously. So I think we really have to figure out how as a nation to deal with these serious problems and really move forward as a nation collectively and recognize that the threats that face us externally and some of the challenges we face here domestically are things we're going to have to work together, Republicans, Democrats together, and as one nation.
Thank you so much for listening today. Don't forget to tune into our regular episodes where we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes every Monday through Friday. We'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.